Hello, I'm Sophie Chen, Axel Song from Green Post. Here we are at the Central Stockholm to have an interview with Pierre-Erik Holmström, chairman of Financial Hearings and Nordic Vikings, about his dream of participating in the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. And actually, he just came back from Beijing. So, Pierre-Erik, can you tell us a little bit about your trip to Beijing?
Yeah, actually, Lan Li, the former vice president of winter sport, invited me. They actually want to restart Nordic Vikings, and people who are real Beijingers know that Nordic Vikings still is the best ice hockey team ever in China. We 2005, 2006, we went from 300 in the stands up to 7,000 in the Shoot Indoor Capital Stadium. As you know, it's a home of winter sport, but also a former Olympic arena. And the Chinese have struggled a little bit to really get there with their ice hockey team. So they are interested to restart Nordic Vikings. As it looks right now, it could be with Harbin or Hawkeye. So that's what was one part of the journey. The other part of the journey, that's about ice hockey. The other part of the journey is about bandy. As you know, I, together with Harbin Sports University and hockey, we started bandy last year. Sent a team to Russia, to Chabarovsk, to start that. I have a strong belief that could be an Olympic sport. And this year we actually start the lady bandy team. And the lady bandy team is going to US to play. So we looked at the team and it looks good. And then we were back at Chengdi, you know, the Qing Dynasty's summer palace, where we played the first game. And for me, I think we have a very good option there to play the lady bandy championship 2018. So we met the governor, and we will probably present the ideas later on in Russia this year. So it's happened a lot now around the Olympics when the Chinese has to be ready.
So you were very happy or satisfied with your trip to Beijing this time?
Yes, it's good or bad with everything, but I have a long relationship with many of the people there, 10
yeah,
years.
And you have been actually sent Nordic Viking, or you go to have contact with China like 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So from the beginning, how did you come up with this idea?
If you take the idea with the ice hockey team, it's a quite odd story. One of my friends started Jan Ove Waldner's bar, you know, the famous table tennis player.
Lava,
yeah. He started the bar, and they were out in China. One of my friends played in my financial team, so he sent me a story, and I was then in Colombia. And had nothing to do, and he took.
So you mean Lava actually
introduced me, exactly.
Sort of stimulate you the idea to go to China.
Yeah, exactly. And it was his friend who built up the bar, and then we built the club around Lava's bar actually in Beijing. So we had the clubhouse there and so on.
So the players actually stay in Lava's place.
Yeah, yeah. It was our clubhouse during the year in Beijing. But it was a long journey after I read an article in China Daily. We met this famous guy, Tomita-san, who built up the Asia League. And he is a very powerful man in ice hockey. He was then the vice president of international ice hockey. He was also president of the whole Seibu group, and he was also the inventor of Asia League. He's also he's actually married into the emperor's family in Japan, and he works for the Olympic Council. So
you meet the important person.
Yeah, we met an important person, and that is start. But it started actually around a little bit the table tennis, and then it started. And at that time, we really also helped Harbin's club, okay. and also Shichihara.
So China has the foundation anyway. We have that climate and the players.
Yeah.
But you yourself actually is also a very good bandy player or ice hockey player.
No, compared to others, I think my strength...
You start from childhood?
Yeah, I start to play hockey and bandy on the childhood, and I played many sports on quite good level. But I think if I'm expert in something, it's more a coaching side.
You are more than a player, actually.
I'm more than a player.
And more than a coach.
Yeah, more than a coach.
Yeah,
but
economically.
Yeah, you can say that my strength has been in everything I do is to link people together and link the right people together.
Okay.
Either it's in finance or in sport, or as you know, I like the combination of the finance sport. So that is...
You have a kind of a strength and an enthusiasm to put different people together and let them
produce.
Exert their own role
exactly.
To the full.
A little bit the story is like doing a good meal. Bring the best parties to the table.
So you are the big chef.
I don't see me as a chef.
Because others prepare some vegetables,
but I also like to walk in the kitchen. That's a little bit my secret. So and during the year in China, I really like to be with the Chinese, down to earth, go by night train to Harbin with them, and I think that's a little bit, they like my natural style, I think.
So how do you think China and Sweden can cooperate in ice hockey or bandy?
I think if you take...
Mutually complementary?
Yeah, let's say that China, of course, as it is, hockey is not a new thing. It has been there up in Harbin and towns like Shichihara, Jiangsu, Changchun since the 50s. And China had a very good league in the 80s, built on military team. And they have built their style very much on the Russian style. And they have a little bit of Russian system. It means that, you know, the Russians, they built their hockey on bandy with very fast skating as a base. And to go back about, talk a little bit about the bandy sport, who is... a very classic sport in Russia. It was the most popular sport in Russia after the war.
Mm-hmm.
But then came hockey in, and the parties saw that the ice hockey was Olympic sport, and the party in Russia, they wanted to have some international experience. So hockey developed a little bit quicker. Also, both sport in that days in the 50s was outdoor, and then in the 70s hockey moved indoor, and bandy is on the way to move indoor, but it's much bigger arenas that you need to build, so it's a little bit after. But going back to the potential of Chinese sport, as I say, Russian ice hockey was the most beautiful ice hockey in the world. And that is also transformed a little bit to the Chinese ice hockey. It's also beautiful. But I think one thing that I think the Swedes could insert, and we have shown that a lot, we can insert a new way of teamwork into the game, into the Chinese game. And I think the Chinese still play good offensive hockey, but they're not so good at the defense. And the way how we work together in the Swedish team, that we can insert to the high flavor offense in the Chinese hockey. So a little bit influence the team building strength in the Swedish team. to get a strong back end. I think that's the core to success.
So the Swiss are good at team building, and they know sort of all the player how to cooperate with each other.
Yeah, you can say that that in the Russian hockey, their excellence is, and their individual skills are very good, and also in China they have some good players. But I think the strength in the Swedish team is the way to find a winning formula together and go out there. Not always be the best team, but still win the game.
But the Swedish team also has almost 100 years history, isn't it?
Yeah. The hockey in Sweden started 1921, actually. Mm-hmm. But you should know that bandy has an older tradition. The bandy sport in Sweden is older than football, the football championship. So it's one of the oldest sports. And it's a classic sport. People who in Sweden in 50s, many players played both bandy and ice hockey. And it was a famous Finnish girl who was very, very good in both sports. And they asked him what's the difference between bandy and hockey, and say that bandy for me is like classic music. And hockey is a little bit like rock and roll, so they're two good sports. And I said that I think that, especially in bandy, I think that if you can use all the knowledge that already exists in the Chinese ice hockey on the ladies' side, they are a contender to take a medal if we can get the bandy sport to the Olympics.
But is bandy only popular in the Nordic, or is it popular the whole world in the Nordic, North Pole?
You can say that on the North Pole.
For example, Canada, America,
Play Canada and America just started. Uh-huh. The problem with bandy, you can say that it's two main countries. It's Russia and Sweden. And then you have Finland and Norway. But teams in bandy, Canada and US started their team and started there, and now Japan has a team, Mongolia has a team, now China got the team, and then you have Germany, Holland, Estland, Latvia, White Russia, Ukraine. So basically all countries on the northern hemisphere have started to have teams. But in many of these northern hemisphere, the team is quite young. But it's a simple game to understand, because it's basically 11 players like football on ice, and it's very classic. However, hockey has their strength, and as they have a lot of indoors today, you can also play ice hockey indoors in warmer climate like Thailand and Africa and Latin America. Mexico has and last year South Africa arranged a world championship where China, for example, attended. So ice hockey is a sport that you can play globally. However, bandy is a sport where you can play in the winter surface. And still, bandy is more an outdoor sport. And that's so fun with the Chengdi Classic that we created last year. Because the Chengdi city, I think they have the same governor who actually invented the Olympic idea in Shangjiakou. Mm-hmm. And he has seen now that they have fantastic opportunity in Chengdi. And we look to have the first, you know, in the 50s with bandy, We played our tournament on natural ice, and we look now to do the first world championship in many years on natural ice. And up in Chengdi, it's sunny, no snow, 5 to 10 degrees cold, and the ice is half a meter. So we can, for the first time in almost 30 years, we can produce a world championship.
But both bandy and ice hockey will be the Winter Olympic Games competition.
Ice hockey is there. Mm. The Olympic, the bandy is still struggling to be
allowed.
Okay. But as now China join the Federation of International Bandy, it increases the possibility tremendously.
And the Swedish team want to participate in the Winter Olympics in Beijing, definitely.
Yeah, ice hockey, you know, there was a silver medalist last and one of the best in the world, and on both women and men's side. And if you go to bandy, if you go to men's side, I would say that it's Sweden or Russia that's going to win. If it's going to be
so confident.
Yeah, it's basically that. Okay, it's 7 years to go, but it's a long tradition. So it's Sweden and Russia are the best in bandy. Ice hockey is a little bit broader. But as I said, if the China women, they start this year, they have potential to take a medal, I think, in bandy.
So that's like your dream in the future also?
Yeah, my
your plan for the future?
Yeah, my dream is actually that I think they have different potential in different sport. If you take bandy, my dream is to give China an Olympic medal in bandy. And I think bandy could be a very good university sport in the big universities in the north, Harbin, Chichihar, Jiangsu, Shanzhong, like Nema, one of the most important universities for northern China in the car town. However, I think ice hockey is a sport that could be profitable as a private sport as well, and there you have the Asia League. But still there, you have the Chinese to go several levels. It's a long walk.
So, because I remember, you know, in the 80s, I have a friend who is a very good ice hockey player.
What's his name?
No, he's not that famous. But
because, you know, some of the good players, China has a very good, had a good.
They are good, but you know, their parents think, oh, how can you have a future for just playing ice hockey? So what kind of advice do you give the parents to allow their children to pursue the ice hockey or these sports?
Going back to that, but I will first say that the China bandy team, China has a very good generation in the 80s. They beat Japan. And two of the players who was legendary there, Gao Xiangling and Lu Feng, they play for me in the bandy team. And Gao Xiangling, he played with the greatest hockey player of them all, Wayne Gretzky, in Edmonton, 86, when the China visited Edmonton. And they are very excited. And I think that we have different thing. With bandy, you combine your studies, build up your body, and do things. And it's not going to be a professional sport in that sense, but you combine it with your studies, and you get good health. And it's really fun to play, and it's an Olympic dream. If you go to ice hockey, that sport, I think the Asia League will go to up to, within 15 to 20 years, it's up to 20 teams competing in Asia, a full professional league. And we might, it's now rumors that China going to have a team in KHL, it's Continental Hockey League, it's 30 teams in Russia who play, and they try to get a Chinese team to participate there. And you know, the salaries the best salaries in that league is player that earn each year around
so
a million dollars.
So you don't think there is a conflict between playing ice hockey or this sport with
the basis, and that's my rule and my advice to the parents as well. Start to skate early. And then the level, it came automatically. But bring your skating capacity with you during the young years. Have fun, play hockey. It build up your physics, and it build up a lot of other things. And bring it with you, and bring the competence with you.
Until when?
Yeah, I think actually you can.
By high school, decide.
During high school, you can divide, and you should know. I have a junior team here in Sweden, and many of my players play both sports still. One of my players play for China national team actually in bandy, and play ice hockey for me. So you can't combine it, but But it's a little bit different talents in the sport. So, you know, on the top end, good work is essential, but talents is also essential. And you need in bandy a little bit more stamina, and you need in hockey a little bit more strength. And then you need your mind in both sports. So I think bandy could also help hockey, because in northern China you have a lot of outdoor ices. And if we can get people to skate on the outdoor ices, we get the skating capacity into China that could be used in both bandy and hockey.
Will the playing the ice hockey affect their study, and also, you know, to what time they can sort of decide that they should do professionally, or should they?
My way of thinking is that you should bring your head with you the whole life. So I think you should combine studying with sport. And I think that's why I think you should do the domestic league in both bandy and ice hockey into the universities, as they have done in basketball. Then it's some guys go professional. Let them go. But Your sports career is normally over after you're 30. So what should you do without an exam? Mm-hmm. So.
But in China, you know, it's the opposite. China has a university which recruits a lot of sports people.
Yeah.
And in order to recruit good players to the university, so they lower the normal scores, yeah, compared with the other students.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you think of this practice?
In practice, I think my simple way of thinking is that as a sportsman, you need your skills like a plumber, but you also need to be good at communication. So if you communicate good, you can talk with media, you get the relaxed thing, and handle things. And sports people are very good, for example, in my business here in Sweden, doing events, because it could be panic doing events. So you need people who can be relaxed in pressure situation. And also I think the basics, if you're good in the basics, and that we talk of write, read, and talk, and also mathematics, of course. That's a really thing you really bring with you in your life. Of course, you might could not be an engineer without deeper knowledge in physics and other things. But it's a lot of things you can actually do if you just could read, write, and talk and count. And I think the English language in the future is a little bit the key.
So you have emphasized that the players, they should learn some different language, right? The Swedish learn some Chinese, and Chinese learn some English.
Exactly. It's fun, actually. If you go back to 2005, we had five Swedish kids up and a coach in Harbin, and the same in Chichihar. And we had from Chichihar and Harbin, it was three players and a coach coming to us. And each morning in the Walden bar, we had the players had some lessons in both. The Chinese players learn English, and the Swedish player, Nordic players actually learn Chinese. So I said that from the beginning, to increase the knowledge and the understanding, even if it's also what I say in hockey, and we say that in Detroit, our language is ice hockey. In the sport, people, good people in the sport, they understand each other just by the sport. But to increase the understanding, we try to insert also the language. That was one of the major problem we had with to insert the Chinese, that was a little bit hard to talk to them, because some of them doesn't read English. But I think the Olympics 2008 actually started a good campaign where China is very far ahead of for example, Japan. But and I think that's one of the strength in the Korean system, why they have built so strong businesses like Samsung and others international, that they has focused on the English language, which means that many Koreans can reach outside Korea. Mm. And I think that is a thing that China is coming strong to understand, that the English language is very important.
Mm. So what's your sort of plan for the future? Is both near short term or long term?
Short term is always tough to get the budgets together, and during the years it has been an expensive hobby to help China, and I really hope now that they go back and look and see what I produce, and not just try to put all the money in the same pocket again. Mm-hmm. Because that pocket hasn't been either profitable or really good, actually. So that's one. And the long term is to get both the sport resources good enough and also finance it long term.
I heard that they call you Lei Feng, actually. Is it a comment or command? How do you think of it?
Actually, I didn't. I didn't notice, but you know, I noticed when I'm in Wintersport that they will always be very nervous when I came because they know that I do things.
Yeah, that means that you do something really good. You help China and players to have this exchange. Yeah. So we hope that more kind of investors or wise men, they will invest in this sport. But you also...
That's actually a thing that I can address. It's not that much we need.
Okay, yeah.
It's not that much money we need, but we need ice rink. Right now we need or bandy ice. We need some base resources to buy some equipment. We need to travel. We need to eat. That's the basics.
And you think that if China sort of form a woman bandy club or team, is it a good time now, just 7 years ago?
Yeah, it's good time. And basically, my view, I've seen some of the girls. For example, we arranged two games here in the spring against the China national team in ice hockey, against the Swedish team. And I've known since I was here 2005, because then I supported an American girl who worked with from New York Islanders, actually, who worked with the China women's team in ice hockey in that day. So I know that China hockey has a long tradition. So I believe, actually, that with a good skating tradition, I think it's possible, if they start now, to actually take a medal. I believe it's going to be hard in hockey, also for the girls, to reach a medal. But if they combine the sport and put a little bit of the resources into both sport, they will increase the skating capacity in the team, and that will affect both bandy and hockey long term. So I think it's a good time, and I think you have the skating knowledge and the existing skating capacity in the country will be enough to reach the goal if they start to be serious.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I think we end this edition, and we are looking forward to, you know, both the Chinese and Swedish teams who play beautiful bandy and ice hockey in the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing.
Okay.